Welcome to the archive recording of Agneta Borstein's interview on Cosmic Tuesdays. Just a heads up, about halfway through the show, I spilled a little water onto my computer mouse and lost control of the show. The interview is nevertheless fascinating and well worth listening to, but there are a little technical glitches here and there. I am sorry about that, and thank you for your patience. Are you ready? Here it comes. Cosmic Tuesdays. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cosmic Tuesdays once again. It is April 27th, 2020, and my name is Anthony Pico, and I am your host, as I always am. And a quick note about the show, I invite people on the show to share their metaphysical experiences of all kinds, and the goal is when you're listening, if you like what you hear, then make it part of your life and bring it into what you believe and how you practice your own beliefs. And if you don't like something else they say, well, you don't have to accept everything everybody says. One size no longer fits all. And I think the best thing for all of us to do these days is to create our own spirituality. I'm not saying we should abandon religions, but we should definitely customize our beliefs to suit ourselves personally, because every one of us is a unique, special, spiritually connected individual, and we know what's best for ourselves. And also the reason I do this is to share the information. You know, mainstream media doesn't cover this stuff as well as it should. So here I am trying to make up the difference, and I hope you enjoy it. I am a professional astrologer. I have 34 years of experience. I've taken Reiki Level 2 just to know how to do it. I've studied the Seth material extensively. I've taken Silver Mind Control, and I've done a lot of investigating into all these kind of topics. So I'm not an expert, but I know a bunch of stuff, so we'll take it from there. Today is April 27th. The sun is at 8 degrees Taurus. A couple of days ago, it conjuncted with Uranus, and so you may have found since Friday to now, there's been a little bit of chaos going on. Pluto went retrograde on Friday, and what that means is that Pluto stops in its tracks, sits there, and then it looks like it's backing up. All the planets except for the Moon and the Sun do this, and we know they're not really going backwards, but it is significant in astrology. Pluto goes retrograde every year for about 4 or 5 months, and Pluto retrograde is kind of strong these days. As you've been listening, you know that the Saturn-Pluto conjunction has led to some of the things leading to the chaos that's been going on in the world lately. And for Pluto to suddenly stop, it's interesting it happened on the day when, I'm not being political here, when President Trump said some things during a briefing that upset everybody about injecting poisons into their body. So there's a kind of an unusual thing going on there. Plus, a lot of what's going on with America is we're going to be coming up on our Pluto return shortly. And if you don't know much about astrology, that's when the planet goes all the way around the solar system and returns to the start of the chart. Now, human beings don't get Pluto returns because none of us live 250 years. But countries do. And we're getting a Pluto return. And one of the things about a Pluto return is it can signify a rebirth of sorts. So I know a lot of us are looking around us and seeing a lot of chaos and craziness, but part of what's going on is America is being reborn, and these are the first beginning kind of little twitches and things, twitches, maybe more than a twitch, that's happening. Couple of other things going on May 10th, Saturn will go retrograde. On May 14th, Jupiter will go retrograde. So they're going to kind of get closer to Pluto again, but then in late September, they go direct again, so that kind of eases up some of it. And then in December and January, Jupiter and Saturn will get together in Aquarius, which will hopefully lighten the energy some. Aquarius is about looking toward the future, coming up with new ideas. So I think we were in the middle of a long period of transformation, and this is the opening kind of beginning of it. Sorry, somebody in our chat room just said only vampires have Pluto returns. Anyway, so tonight the moon is in Cancer, so it's certainly good for emotional chatting. And Mercury, which is the planet of chatting, among other things, just went into Taurus, so hopefully it left Aries behind and will calm down and be able to have easygoing conversations. But I wanted to tell a little story from my family and tie it into what's going on these days. I was fortunate after my parents both died that I got my hands on their letters. They sent a lot of letters to each other during World War II when they were separated, and the early courting letters. And what I really want to bring up is in the early days of World War II, my dad was in the Navy, and he was being trained down in Memphis, and my mother was out on Long Island, and she was serving as one of the Rosie the Riveters, putting together airplanes. And at some point, my father got wonderful news that he was not going to be sent overseas. He was trained to be an instructor on certain things, and so he was going to be kept stateside. And my mother was, in her letter, was deliriously happy that she learned this, and just filled with joy that she didn't have to worry about her husband risking death. But I remember in the letter she wrote, "Of course I'm keeping it to myself, because the other girls here have husbands and boyfriends overseas, and I don't want to act, you know, all full of it because my husband is safe." My mother was being kind and considerate to other people, because that's what was done back then. We're talking about a period of time when there was gas rationing. You were told not to travel if you could avoid it. There was, my mother even wrote about shoe rationing. Apparently she was all upset she couldn't buy a couple extra pairs of shoes. Nylons were rationed, or if they weren't rationed, women actually drew lines on the back of their legs to look like they had stockings on. So I think people are still that way. And I think sometimes in the current climate where people are ranting about how they don't want to be in lockdown anymore, they want to go out and do whatever they want to do, they're tired of not going to restaurants, whatever is being said out there, try to remember it's the minority. Most of us are cooperating. Most of us care about each other on some level. And the amazing thing about this particular situation that we're all in is that this has never happened before. This is the first time in world history that everybody on the planet is facing the same problem. And what's even more interesting is it's the first time in ages that it wasn't about warfare. This isn't about one nation fighting another or one nation conquering another. This is about all of us needing to cooperate to defeat an illness that could kill millions of us if we're not careful. So try to remember, most of us are decent people. A lot of wonderful things are going on out there where people are rising to the occasion. And if a few idiots want to make stupid protests about how selfish they are, please remember they're in the minority. Most of us are not like that. And we're gonna pull through this. It's just a matter of how well we pull through this. And cooperating, I'm in the middle of New York City, you know. There's a lot of people here, and I don't see them on the street. They're inside. And that, as empty as the streets are and as freaky as it looks, like some sort of sci-fi end-of-the-world, you know, staging of, like, nobody in the streets, I have to remember to myself, there's 8 million people behind all those doors staying safe and not infecting other people and cooperating. So that's our goal. That's our point ahead of us as we go through all of this. Yeah, this madness, it's crazy. And a lot is going to be happening. But tonight we're fortunate to take a little bit of a break and talk to a person I just recently discovered, and she's fascinating. I had a long conversation with her last week, and I want to introduce you to Agneta Borstein. She is an enthusiastic devotee of life and is a professional astrologer, a shamanic practitioner, a lecturer, a teacher, and workshop facilitator. She was born in Sweden, She moved to the United States many years ago, and incorporating her BA in business and metaphysics and consultations, she owned an alternative bookstore for 21 years. A professional astrologer, Agneta merges her education in advanced initiations in shamanism and healing from the Foundation for Studies into her private practice, workshops, and lectures. She is a past president of the Astrological Society of Connecticut and has been a member for 34 years. Agneta was the producer and host of the show From the Sky to the Earth and is the author of The Moon's Nodes, Understanding the Dynamic Ties That Bind. Agneta has been committed to the Siddha Yoga Path since 1976, spending extended time in South Fallsburg, New York, and Siddha Yoga Path in Ganeshpuri, India. She also has held regular events for solstices, equinoxes, full and new moons for many years. Her latest lecture and workshop includes How Loud Will the Gods Speak? Love that title. How Loud Will the Gods Speak? Where she explores current planetary movements lasting from 2012 through 2026. During workshops or lectures, Agneta often invites the audience to participate in meditation, chanting, and journeying. And you can find her at agnetaborstein.com, AgnetaBorstein.com, or sit where you are. Agneta, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Yes, I'm here, Anthony.
Welcome for joining. Thank you very much for being here. I was delighted to discover you. Agneta was recommended to me by one of my previous guests, Jackie Slevin, who's another wonderful astrologer I know. And let's just start at the very beginning. What drew you to astrology way back when, before you knew Mars from Pluto? Mm-hmm. What was it that first attracted you to it?
Well, as many, I read Linda Goodman's Sun Sign at a very early age. It's many, many years ago, and that was as in Sweden when I lived there.
Right.
So I am one of those, like, always to, you know, this, what's your sun sign? And I just took to it. I started, of course, you go with a sun sign, and then when I came here to America, my mother-in-law was a professional astrologer, esoteric astrologer, actually, mm-hmm. Uriel Clark. So and I had already been on the path of astrology and learned the basic, but then also here in Connecticut, which is where I live, we have one of the world's oldest and active astrological group, which is the Astrological Society of Connecticut. We are 47 years old.
Wow.
So I have been a member for 40. You mentioned 34, but it adds up, goes so fast. I've actually been a member, an active board member, president, ex. You do flyers, you do all of that stuff. And I'm still quite involved with it. We meet on monthly base in a little, great little antique, like an old home, if you will.
Mm.
And we do quite well. We've averaged 35, 40 people on a monthly basis. We take a break in the summer. But that has just opened. You know, America is big.
Yeah.
As opening my very first big lecture I went to was Noel Till.
Oh,
with
wow.
With his voice, you know, I was taken to astrology. So I think it has always been with me. And I think that's a great tool just to be involved in both volunteer and professional ways.
It said you ran an alternative bookstore. What made it alternative? Was it just mystical stuff, or was it just unusual publications? How would you define alternative?
Well, before I left for Sweden, I do have a business degree. So coming here, without getting too personal, but at one point I almost went back to Sweden after becoming a widow. That's another story. During his sudden return, natural causes, and here I am.
Wow.
And somebody had a vision about a bookstore with a young girl in the front. Our daughter was 7, as Saturn cycle goes. And it made sense because in that process of not only astrology, all the alternative application had always been to my heart and life, totally. And so it made sense that I could, when a legal, he was a marital legal medium, and he was quite involved, insisted that he saw me opening an alternative bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they came about. You know, of course, I timed it with a chart in hand in 1984. And it actually, within a year, became a great success because people at that time in the 80s, you know,
right.
84, thriving. Ooh, finally a store like that. I would have gone down to Weiss's in New York City and get my books there. And so it was a great success, and I worked hard. So the concept of it, I had a great astrology section, but I also had everything related to metaphysics, health, healing, tarot books. I was an expert on all incense. I had all the incense that I possibly could think about, and I still love my incense and the, you know, scents. And I did carry it until I actually sold it, but I also became a consultant. After a Jupiter return, 12 years, I went to India and meditated for a month. So with that is the combination. But what I also found, what when I had to place those orders, I knew the stuff somehow. You know, you take to this when you're born, maybe. Some people say it has always been with me, and I am the one that would say that about myself, too. You know, having my whole focus in my natal chart between the 6th and the 12th house service and going into that 12th house and doing service. So.
If this is too painful or too difficult, please forgive me for asking, but did you find astrology helpful to deal with your husband's passing? Did it help you understand better or...
Yes, as hard as it was,
sure.
When you then step back and look at timing, it's a practical life to translate it to perhaps when I was teaching. I still teach astrology, but clients too that I had experience losing my husband, natural causes, within a week, he's gone. And right, you know, how the Saturn goes retrograded back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and then exactly when it was direct was his timing. And
wow.
My daughter was only 7, so of course it was a difficult time, and he was the only child from the mother dedicated to him, as it is if you just have one child, which is the part of it. So it became a metaphor of me. I actually had a pretty good job, come to think about it. I was working in the music industry. I had to go to concerts. I was a coordinator between the guitar, it was a guitar company.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became like music and me, and it just happened to say, I had already put, you know, the readings had already started, you know, it came pretty fast in my dedication to astrology, so I just decided that's enough. So I totally devoted myself for clients and to work with that at that time. Yeah,
it's funny. That's about 84 is about the same time I started getting into astrology. It's I think Pluto went Pluto going to Scorpio around then. Maybe that dragged us all in there.
the beautiful abyss.
Yeah.
There's no end of, yeah.
And by the way, I just want to make a point to anybody listening. I don't know about other astrologers, but I don't believe we can predict death. So what Agnate is talking about is really how what was going on in the sky coincided with what was happening. Just hope you believe you would agree with me on that, you know.
Certain things you don't want to predict, and when you see it, you know, you learn afterwards, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we look at a chart and we'll see, oh, there's a tremendous challenge coming up. And it doesn't have to be death. That's one of the reasons nobody in astrology predicts death, because they could choose to stick around. You know, you don't know what's going to happen and how they're going to deal with what's happening. So...
Yeah, well, also I think, too, we have a little bit more challenge nowadays as astrologers because the doctors give them another pill and they stay alive for another 4 years or 2 years, you know, so there's that. People live longer. They still
yes.
have a strong, you know, 84, the Uranus return, and, you know, you have all this different aspect. And, of course, being Swedish, they stay alive long time because
yeah.
of whatever reason, yeah. So you have all different...
Good genetics.
Changes in the world nowadays.
Yeah, I had a guest in the show ages ago who was an expert in the near-death experiences where people die and they're brought back. Mm. And they said one of the reasons we're doing so much research into it now is that doctors are saving people, that they die and they bring them back.
Right.
So we have a lot more cases to examine and talk to people about. So yeah, that's true. So you got into astrology for a long time, but then at some point you started studying shamanistic stuff. What led you that direction?
Well, as I mentioned, my chart is pretty based. I mean, I have a few things elsewhere too, but because of an interception, it's very large, the 6th and the 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt sometimes or often when I have my office, I felt like when client left me, maybe I could do something more.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be in service for being a counselor or being a therapist? And I looked into that. I'm like, nah. And being alternative, as in always, if you will, with how I ate, how I still eat, odd, or whatever that means nowadays, pure.
Okay.
So it just made more sense that I would. So I looked into different courses, and I committed myself to the Michael Harner's Foundation for Shamanic Studies. I was almost going out to California when I was going to take this. It's a basic 5-year program.
Wow.
Which, you take basic courses, you take other levels, and so you have to take them before you commit yourself to the 3-year program that then is what you had mentioned, advanced initiation in shamanism,
right.
Shamanism and shamanic healing. So it's a big commitment, and fortunately, I almost went to California, but Omega is very close to where I live, you know, the Omega Institute.
Yes, upstate New York, yeah, right.
So waiting for a whole year, that's what I did. And my great teacher, Sandra Ingerman, was just fantastic for the 3 years of commitment to participate, going up there, staying there a few times a year, but then also you get homework, which you didn't have to do, but I loved them. And then you start to integrate that into, I felt that I was able to help people more, because it does, and I'm so for astrology, I do that more than shamanic healings as it is. But what also I have, through the bookstore, supplement, you know, there's not a lot of markup in books, but
no.
I supplemented by having programmers at night as a center.
Ah.
So there will be that opening of tarot and, you know, having events, and shamans would come there, and I would kind of be drawn to that. So my commitment was very sincere and still is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way that when you combined, which I actually have a when you request a name that I have as a domain.
Oh,
but
oh,
I
yeah.
never
You're,
get
yeah.
ready to do it, astroshamanism.net. So maybe one day when I have a little more time, I will. But what has happened, and now as we are in our home, I have been quite busy with life and good stuff and clients. So now I have time to look at my paper in my office, and I find that I taught ever since like 2003 and 9. I'm finding all these different flyers, and of course 2012 was very important, and that took this concept of timing an event, as in winter solstice, summer solstice. I love the summer. I'm a summer person. Mm-hmm. But also, there would be sometimes, and people would be interested in what I also feel that right now, don't you feel so, Anthony? People know more astrology than we might think sometimes.
Yes.
We do get complicated with our sesquiquadrant and, you know, all that stuff. But there's also a common knowledge.
Yes.
Never mind on our laptop, we have the symbols there. So what has happened, people show up at my events, they participate, and I always try not to make it too complicated. Mm-hmm. And of course, I also do pure astrology lectures, even though I have also combined, especially one a few years ago, I did a workshop late recently, but also another lecture, where in that you have Michael Harner, those kind of shamanic teachers that are known, and mm-hmm. you take that concept of showing how they can teach thousands of people and millions of people. There's another, if people are interested, the Michael Harners, they're very active, they're more eclectic. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Four Winds Society with Alberto Villardo, that is more South American. And me being I still like to travel. My footprint and me in traveling is, I love to travel and see the world. So they are more eclectic throughout the world. You have more interaction with, especially it is interesting to say Siberian shaman. It comes from...
Wow.
And Swedish has Salmo, S-A-M-E-R. So, of course, that is thousands of years old principle that there is a shaman in each society in the way back when, up in the Siberian time and thousands of years ago.
So you would use the word shaman or shaman to, it's just sort of a concept of local spirituality, local medicine man. I don't know what, you know.
A medicine man is more to say it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because in our practice, which is another part of, you might not say, oh, Agneta, she's a shaman. Then you have to prove yourself in a tribe. But now we have many modern shaman practitioner. So we tend to say facilitator or practitioner. And so it depends on your quality to combine that, because always they would do winter solstice. They would take the sun in eclipses, you know that. That has always been the shamans would know the sky. So you take the sky's message down to earth and you integrate that as a combination, actually. And just looking at nature in itself, too. Nowadays, it's also part of that looking at how many of the Mayans knew about the Venus rising. That was a warrior goddess, even though we might not see her all the time like that. But just to be aware of the cycles in nature, I mean, sky and as below, all of it. Do I say that clear?
No, I think you did. I mean, it's very clearly shamanism is starts out nature based, you know, by
right,
paying attention to what's going on around us, what we can learn from the plants and the ground and the water and the insects and whatever we have here, or the cat sitting in my lap trying to irritate me while I'm trying to get the show going.
Oh, no, he's part of it.
Yes. No, he joins me every time.
And that would go like some people that I come across, might be in an astrology conference and might have said, oh, yeah, I did a journey one time and I got to know my power animal. So what I have been able to do is combine, if there's a transit, you know, we are very academic and factual, and there's
we
the
can be,
doing astrology, and I am technically and, you know, technical in that process. But with the combination, you have a more freedom, and you have a little bit of saying, well, if we take a certain time, even when we do an electoral time for a chart, for an astrology reading, one day might be better than another one.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this, like, going back to some people know a little bit about their power animal. And, of course, this is, to me, I have had some really productive times in my own journeys, which I do from time to time, you lock yourself in, that merge with a transit, which I have also done in lectures. You merge, you take like what I did, taking a Saturn, I can get back to that, or take a detail later on,
No, definitely, we it's time for a commercial, but definitely wanted to get into power animals and stuff like that, because I found that very fascinating, and we will in just a few minutes. Right now, as always, we have 6 minutes of commercials and a news broadcast, and we'll be back with Agneta Borstein and her power animals. And good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Cosmic Tuesdays. It is April 27th, 2020. Tonight we have Agneta Borstein, an astrologer and a facilitator of shamanistic practices. Before we get into power animals, which we just a second, there's a quote from some. By the way, check out her website. There's some great stuff there. There's a link using her name. You can go to YouTube. There's like 12 videos discussing various things about astrology and whatnot. There's articles on her website, and that's Agneta Borstein, AgnetaBorstein.com. Or if you go to Facebook, the same name, Agneta Borstein, is findable there too. Now, in one of your articles, I was curious if you would elaborate on this. A shaman is one who can journey outside of time and space in an altered state of consciousness or trance state. I know these are, I don't believe these are your words, but it's from an article there. To access information that contributes to the diagnosis and healing of physical and emotional dis-ease. And according to Sandra Ingerman, who you mentioned earlier, shamanism is something you do, not a name you take for yourself. From a shamanic point of view, we don't make a distinction between physical and emotional illness. We are looking at what is spiritually out of balance in the client. Do you just want to touch on that a little bit, maybe elaborate how it's...
Yes, it's a big question.
Yes, I know, I know.
So, first of all, even though, as I mentioned, with an astrological consultation, you might have a better day than another day.
Right.
So what I tend to do, or in my practice, I make sure that I can step out of here, because certain times we have... and especially the clients, I always look at the client's chart and say, well, this is a good day. This is a good day. Because even we live during challenging times, we kind of leave this plane. There's different levels of where we might travel. And there is the definition of how do we get into that altered state of consciousness. If we can compare it to meditation or dreaming. Now, meditation, as I mentioned, I do that on a, you know, continuously basis. I don't give that up. But we kind of just go in to begin blissed out. We have a good time. We see the ocean, and that's wonderful and very beneficial, especially with the breathing. Making sure we take our walks nowadays with the breathing. So with when we then decide to be there as a supporting a client or my own things that, that goes on in the life. We take a time out, if you will, so that the when we meditate, we float, as I mentioned. But when we do a shamanic journey, if it was a client that had come in with an issue or that we might even see in an astrology chart, that then we might be stuck here on Earth, but we also leave this plane so that we go into different stages of level of consciousness.
Okay.
As what is beautiful to see and do so that your listener can maybe think about this. We sit up and look at a Saturn square Jupiter, or let's say Jupiter conjunct Pluto, which personally I'm like, whoa, that's a strong one in my vocabulary, in my way of liking Jupiter, but we got to be careful with him. So we might take that as a portal to understand that there is something going on. You can travel to planet, you might not stay there because there's something larger, there's big worlds out there that we then take into training to know where we go, and that's where the power animal comes into. The basic foundation would be that there is the lower underworld, not just Pluto. The middle world is where you and I are sitting here talking, and that's a difficult journey to take because we have so much influences, especially at this moment. But once you get used to it, you can take that into account to make that a specific topic. Mm-hmm. You said intentions, which you can do in meditation too. Then you have the upper world, which you might get more into traveling even further beyond the universe, beyond the stars. But there is a doorway up how we go into these different stages. That is by practice. It's a spiritual practice, as meditation is, as when you commit yourself to Hatha Yoga. You have to practice it. You have to kind of be committed to it. And that's part of how I feel that when you are connected to the nature, connected to your parents, I mean to your clients, parents too, can go in and see, there's a very interesting journey to go and visit your ancestor for a while.
Oh.
My sister would be the one that is like way back in Sweden, have such a great control over ancestor. So I would do my little journey in to meet the ancestors, and I had to kind of check on what I think I saw. You have to be aware, altered. Do I see it? Do I make it up? So you have to trust all the impression from the time we went out of this world, and trusting your power animals. We can talk about that in soon.
Yes,
but
yes,
just
definitely.
When I went in to see these images of way back when, my sister had noticed that our ancestor from on my grandmother's side, my mother's mother's side, were stone cutters. They came from Belgium, but they dealt with death because they would carve their stones as in gravestones.
Yeah.
Have some interesting experience there too. But also they did the herbs because it was death that they dealt with. So when I go in to see this whole scene, I felt I'm cheating. Hmm. But it wasn't, because then you really have to bring back your information, what they give you. So when you have different aspects, there's different intention to kind of combine this. There's different, as in astrology, we have this layers, and sometimes we get maybe carried away, but we have systems within systems. So in shamanism, you have systems as well. So most of us, and as you would have guests on your show, angels can appear. So we most of the time are born with a guardian angel, but we also, most of the time, if we so decided to discover them, born with a power animal. Now, looking at your situation there with your cats, they can be your power animals, but they can also be the energy from, for example, a jaguar. They could be something similar, and when you connect to that, then you have that, and they don't go away. They just show up as your main guide to help you into the lower middle world or the upper world. So it does take a little practice, as meditation takes practice, as anything that we commit ourselves takes commitment.
Yes.
And that's what I did, and I realized this quite a few years ago, since I did that 5-year training where you get a little certificate. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a while. So, and also, the power animals, some people might know it already without knowing that they know.
I believe that. Sure, absolutely.
You know, have my poor two daughters, they had snake dreams early in their life, and I'm like, yes! And they go, Mom, you scared me! I'm like, oh, it's good for you, just let it go. So you have different levels of how we take it into this, I consider this a beautiful world, as to be thankful for being here for this short second here, now, which is a long life,
Now, I have a question, and there may not be an easy answer, I don't know, but I'm very aware of, recently in the past couple of years, become very aware of my, what I call my main spirit guide at this point in my life.
Yep.
But, you know, on your website you refer to during shamanic exploration, you can be reunited with your spirit animal teacher or guide. Is there necessarily a difference? I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure one of my animals have to be feline of some kind, because,
yes.
But is, would you say it's a different than maybe my spirit guide, who I, a guy I call Big Chief, are they just sort of manifestations of the similar energy? How would you describe that?
I would describe it like this, that they have different purposes.
Okay.
So that most of the time, if you insist, the difference between meditation and journeying, which is called, and what I do when I teach, we meditate to make sure we are relaxed. Then we set intentions, and that might be based on a chart or something that you want to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go. And I'm quite a good drummer there with the same beat as the earth.
Ah.
So, yeah, I like that. So point is that when you then know that who is your main guide, you have different guides for different purposes. But there would be one that always is your main guide that just about 100% will not leave you in this lifetime. They are there. And when you demand, if you sat down, Anthony, to say like, well, who is it anyway? And you ask again. You see something, you think you see something, and it's very important. Many people don't see as visual.
Yeah.
And some people feel, and some people hear, and actually I can do both. And you smell. That's awful. That's the whole level. It's like, yuck. Skunk has come 2-3 times. Like, yuck. But the more you then demand that, you would know, who's my main guide? And at one point early on, I had to line them up. 1, 2, 3, there's callers who does deals when I do retrievals. So you have to be kind of firm with your intention. Because otherwise, as in meditation, might you say like, yeah, this was nice, I really like that. But in the journeying, you actually demand, I want to not lose my state of consciousness. I want to bring it back. And then, of course, nature, they're not linear. They go, whew. You know, you have these levels of going to other worlds, if you will, and they're very, very real. So my answer to your would be, if you want to know, or if you have felt drawn to your main power animal, you can do it in a dream. You can say, is that really who that I should trust sometimes? And then they will be more and more showing up, if you will.
Yeah, that's one of the things actually they teach you when you do silver mind control. They teach you, like, you can tell yourself to have a dream to solve a problem or to, and that what they tell you is that when you wake up, you'll remember the dream and you will understand the symbolism, because sometimes that can be a challenge for people. So there's a similar, I understand what you're saying, there's a very similar quality to that. Now, just one other comment about spirit guides and whatnot. Recently I had a reading from someone who told me that I have brought in a handful of spirit guides that are here specifically for the next 5 years because of something I'm going to be doing. She did not elaborate, but do you have experience with that? Are you aware that sometimes, like, we may have that one main guide we keep throughout the whole time, but then are there, like, sub-guides that come in for particular things?
For reasons,
You've experienced that?
Because one time, like the way, you know, in the way back when, I had to define in my own journey, like, who are you anyway? You know, wolf might do this, fox is the healer, there is Shiva, he's very strong in my practice, in my spiritual sadhana, but he's also very strong in healing's part. And then you might have somebody else too. So yet there is more than one. They don't come all the time at the same level.
Right.
So if this reader have said you're going to need some support, you can then go to the first one that you mentioned that might be the cat or a lion or a jaguar, and then that can lead you into what you're supposed to learn for those 5 years, or who would be. You might also see the difference in the dreams is that we fall asleep. Oh, what did I dream about? I forgot.
Yeah.
But in the altered state, we come out of it and we make notes. We dream. We write about it right away.
Yes.
And I share that with clients when I see it. For example, soul retrieval is one of my favorite because that is very specific. I do time that very, very careful because if you're going to have a client coming in, hey, I want a soul retrieval, I want to be done with deep wounds, and if that transit looks too intense, if you will, I am not a doctor, and I might be a good astrologer, would say, like, well, let's leave it for a little bit, or are you really ready to do more deeper work? I might see to myself more often, which you know is not an astrological application. We see them once a year or every 5 years when they have a hard transit.
Yes.
But with this, I might see, well, come back once a month or we talk. And I might give them some dates that are then more important for that time where healing has occurred. And most tradition in shamanism gives you 45 days to integrate the new essence that then has come back. It's sometimes it's overnight, but it's a new way of looking at trusting that which is outside of us. And I do want to share one time when I had, as we all remember, strong Saturn cycles every once in a while, right? So I go into my space and I say, well, Saturn, who are you anyway? You know, like, tell me really. And I merge with that energy of Saturn. And I was kind of like out in that essence where he goes, and strong, he goes, I am the giver of life. And I'm like, That's the mother, that's the moon. So we had a little like a Saturn will not give up and I can be strong. So it was a long conversation that he wouldn't give up, that he gave life, he gives birth. So in that altered state of consciousness, I'm like, no, yeah, no. I just have to kind of like surrender to a certain quality of what I trust. So afterwards, after I'm coming out, I'm like, huh? I'm like, Mars, that's like how you are born. A child is born by sexual activity, so the mother and the moon. So it took me a while to realize, well, it does take two. We need Saturn to give birth.
Yeah.
To be the foundation of. And then it's somehow esoterically is Saturn is the matter of life into this realm. It's a spirit of saying we need to be here with the foundation or we might not have been here. So that's one way you can merge and kind of after you find the different levels of do that.
So a client comes to you and they say, hey, I want an astrology reading. And by the way, Agneta does normal natal chart readings. She does updates. She does synastry charts where you compare two charts for relationships or whatever the comparison might be. And also you do electional astrology where people are looking to do something and they want to know the best time to do it. But let's say a person comes to you for natal reading, and what kind of a transit would you see that might make you say, hey, you know, you should do some shamanic journey? Like, what makes you bring that up? Okay.
Well, part of my personality, I don't think I ever push people. I would let them know that and ask myself. I would not want to say, you should do this.
Yeah.
So it's, you know how that is. I'm not the type of person that meets somebody at the party. Oh, you! I want to do your reading, and
right.
I should. I have a more ethical opinion about that. But it has come where they have asked me, and then again it goes like, this could be a good time. Just like an election chart that we do. One time is better than another one.
Sure. I can see that. I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm getting Pluto right across my Sun and Venus and Mercury along with Jupiter and Saturn. So
you're busy with Capricorn. Oh, boy.
Yes.
That's
making me kind of nutty. Do you think people have more than one spirit animal? Do you think they could have, does it change through life? Or do you think they at one point they could have two different animals at the same time? Is that a possibility?
they can. I had that too. Bears, beautiful. Yes, they can. But what I emphasize is that they, most of the time, I would say like 99%, there is a major guide. They do not have to be a power animal. It could be an... let me give you one example that is so beautiful. In our circle that we then did at Omega, we have to transform into either level of the upper or lower world of the three different dimensions.
One and three.
So in comes this quite heavy, beautiful, big woman. And we're looking at her. It's like, wow. She was Gaia. And the way she dressed it up, this was her giving out of what she understood about giving out to the world. That would be her main power guide.
Mm-hmm.
As another woman had a big challenge, but being her main power guide was Jesus.
Huh.
She didn't think she was worth him. We had to help her. What an honor. She couldn't handle it. But so there is that which, as I mentioned, when I go in to support people, I do my own journey for my own sake. I'm like, I got to go downstairs. I have a little office cave, and I tell my husband, I'm not breaking up with you, but I'm going to go downstairs tonight. So I have my space. It's very good to have a space. And I also mentioned the Michael Harner's. He has a good series of drumming tapes because it helps you to have the world cut off with the phones and the TV and all that. They have very good, and you can do that on YouTube too, actually, Michael Harner, shamanism.org. They have videos, tapes that you can order, but you can also download it on YouTube for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Michael Harner and Ram Dass had quite a few interaction and videos too that they show. So it depends on how much you want to do it. As you know, in astrology, Anthony, how much do you want to do?
Right.
So this was part of my path. Should I help people more? And I have. And that's where I let people decide if there's some deeper work to do, as it many times happens, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having a little technical problem here.
Oh, sorry. I hear you. I hear myself talking.
Now there's music playing in the background. Just so everybody knows, my crew knows I have technical problems. So my mouse is going berserk, so if we're having a little trouble here. This is probably a good time to take a quick break for a commercial.
Sure,
we'll be back about... If all works well, we'll be back.
Okay. Otherwise, I'll be back another time.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if we can do this, people. Okay, where's the commercial? Here. Well, I'm not going to try to play any more commercials because my mouse has gotten crazy on me. The hell with my commercials. Let's keep going, Agneta.
To our own. Let's talk yourself up. So you are a professional astrologer, too. And
yes.
I do have one question for you, Anthony.
Yeah.
How come we are meeting each other on a Monday night and you have the Tuesday Cosmic Show?
A long time ago, I started a blog on Tuesdays that I call Cosmic Tuesdays. And it sort of became my brand, so to speak. And then... It turned out that the best night of the week to do the radio show was Monday, and so I just figured, you know, let's keep people off balance a little bit. Let's confuse them a little.
It did confuse me, but I also thought there must be a reason for it, as it could come out on a Tuesday, or you used to do it on a Tuesday.
I also Tuesday's my favorite day of the week. The reason I like Tuesday so much is, you know, everybody hates Monday, but Tuesday is still early enough in the week where there's still possibilities. You know, by Thursday and Friday, they go, no, thank God it's the weekend. But Tuesday's still early enough where you got all the garbage past it, and there's still possibilities ahead.
Lots of possibilities.
Yes,
yeah.
Always possibilities.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Power animals and soul retrieval. Go ahead, keep talking. If you have anything you want to say, go ahead.
Well, it's part of a counseling part, because you help people in the process of perhaps the soul retrieval, as I mentioned. An unknown depression, an unknown wound can sit somewhere. And so you I just forgot his name, South American astrologer and shaman.
Okay.
I asked him one time, because when you see a chart, it's like, we know all about that person, right? We look at a
yes.
chart, like, yeah. So sometimes when I do that, because when I do shamanic work, I do want to look at the person's chart. So
sure.
I asked him after we went to, you know, some kind of big conference where he was here. I will get his name eventually. I see him in front of me, but that's not important. He's a great, he works a lot with the combination too.
Okay.
So I asked him, I feel sometimes that when I do work and I'm in my death state, altered state of consciousness, and I do my thing, I get a lot of visions and images, but then sometimes I know the chart.
Right.
So that might hinder, or does it hinder me to get the right answer from my very trusted guides? He said it very, very accurate, because we know astrology has such an important part of what we choose. We choose our own charts, you know that.
Yeah, I believe we do, yes.
Yeah, I'm very firm with that, because I have some students, they want to change their chart. It's like,
yeah.
Another chart, you got to surrender to it, because this is what you do or what you have chosen. So his answer was quite significant for my time. It's quite a few years ago. He goes, but you have to. I
mm-hmm.
looked at him like, I'm not cheating. Because if I don't trust the work that I'm doing as an astrologer, as a therapist, as in any type of alternative healing, as in even mediums, if we don't trust the information, maybe we shouldn't have begun it.
Right.
You know. So the astrology is such a, as isn't that the blue, what do you call it, the blueprint? You know.
Yes.
So, but
yes. Good way to put it.
It's a very powerful tool, and of course my whole thing about, we never really know our charts, because there is layers of that consciousness to move it up to. Never mind if you have all that Capricorn, that you know, part of that whole shift that is going on so strong right now in those planets.
We are always learning our charts. I mean, I always say I do a chart for somebody who's 25 years old very differently than I do a chart for somebody who's 65 years old.
Yeah.
Because hopefully they've processed some of the stuff and evolved some and gotten somewhere, you know.
So. Yes, but you have never experienced that time of evolution. So as I would have called some people, just come to your office and they just sit and stare at you.
Yes, that's true.
So is that, you know, their level, and it's not to blame anybody. So there is a lot of those levels. And also what I definitely want to share with you and your audience is about way back when I started to study astrology, it's like, oh, I'm a Gemini? Okay. I thought I was the Pisces. I have a Pisces moon, so I'm all about the moon, because when we get into that essence of a deeper sense of a chart, of course the sun does count, but I'm absolutely a moon person, and I am in love with all the eclipses.
Mm.
And so through my commitment to a Siddha path already in Sweden and so forth.
The yoga, yeah, go ahead.
The main part of what I'm trying to see the whole eclipse pattern, because then we get involved with the soul as in the moon and the spirit as the sun, and they always interact. And actually, when I have done lectures, my specialty is the eclipses and the moon's nodes.
Yes, so you wrote a book on it, too.
Well, I actually wrote two. The first one was Aaron Sullivan insisted that I would write this book. So having the bookstore then, I did self-publish, and I won't get into details, but there was a little bit of shifts at the end there with the typesetter, publisher, blah, blah, blah. And it's hard to self-publish a book. You know,
yes.
Even if I owned a bookstore, I knew my books. I had great books. I mean, just knowing the astrology section was pretty big in the bookstore. But it was great success. So anyway, me and the eclipses, yeah. And so another personal story is then that after quite a few years being a widow, I'm like, maybe this eclipse will bring me somebody. Well, and don't you know, it did. Within 5 years, 5 months, excuse me, I'm thinking about how long, it's 32 years ago, we were married within 5 months.
Wow.
So far, so good, I have to say. And that's all the eclipses, because when you get to know your chart, it becomes alive in what I consider also, I feel I have seen more people looking at the sky, the connection of my TV program for 3 years was from the sky to earth, because we bring that wisdom and in that comes how alive we can be. But when we just look at a piece of paper, it's an analytical mind.
Yes.
But I also feel very much, and I have done it myself, haven't you, Anthony? You have sat and looked at a chart to 2 o'clock in the morning and you're out of your mind because you see so much. It's like, yeah, look at that. And I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
That too, that we have a beautiful tool of integrating our life and, you know, in that combination, not just the shamanism, but healing anytime, health, all those different aspects that we have in that, the meditation and sitting down and just really give it all to a client. I feel
significant. That to me is really, you know, the whole goal to me of astrology is to help people, if they don't understand themselves, to understand themselves better and work with what they have. I have met people that, you know, one of my favorite types of readings, and I like a lot of them, is when somebody comes to you and maybe they're in their 40s and you said you might have had a problem with this. And it's like, well, yeah, I've gotten over that. I've gotten over this. I'm doing better with that. And they're working with all their transits and they know their chart without actually knowing it. They're like spiritually aligned.
Yeah.
And basically those readings, when you pat them in the back and go, hey, you're doing fine. Keep doing it. You know, you go out the door. But that's the goal.
Because at one point you don't want to say, because there is less and less ignorant, if that would be the right word to use, that comes to see us.
Yes.
But some people feel like they will say, don't say anything bad. It's like, well, what is that?
Yeah.
But cautiousness, we have to be careful with what type of information we think we can deliver, and with that cautiousness. So going back to the moon, I mean, my book is, so the first publishing that I self-published, and then I took the concept to, because there was quite a bit in there of being into the spiritual path and my, you know, the whole astrology stuff. But then later on, the Ibis publisher took it and we simplified it for the material, and it's quite easy for your audience to read about the connection between eclipses, how the moon's nodes are activated. I have a lot of information about the ages. You know, we know the Saturn return and all those stuff, but I had worked out the different time frames of the moon's nodes, how they pass through a whole house. As of May 5th, they're going to go into the sign of Gemini and Sagittarius, and they will be there for 19 months. Most, you know, that's the phase that the zodiac sign itself stays in one sign, and then you have the eclipses that overlaps within that time frame. And as I think we both decide not to do too much political things because it's too political.
Yes.
But with them going into Gemini Sagittarius, we have the president that has packed Gemini Sagittarius in his chart of the public.
Does.
So we could leave that like that and let people study that. But that's they're all hitting. They are very, very strong. And just, if you don't mind me just talking about the eclipse.
Go right ahead.
The the United States of America, whether you use the Sibley chart or the Gemini ascendant, doesn't matter. The one eclipse on July 5th, 13 degrees of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. I never separated them as Capricorn Cancer. You know, they, the overlap that they start on May 5th in Gemini Sagittarius, the eclipse still has to do its power job. But the churning process, as the name of my first book, still has to happen in that house. So on that, July 5th, never mind, that's, you know, July 4th. To me, you don't want to have one day. But that's a pretty strong 13-degree Capricorn eclipse, a full moon eclipse.
Okay.
And then you have other ones before, on June, 0 degree on the Venus, and Jupiter on June 30th. So they all very strong in that process of perhaps with your audience thinking about how we can sit and look at the TV, which we try not to, but we all get stuck there sometimes, I hope, to be informed, that is, right?
Right.
To make sure you are safer in New York City. And so the combination is making that alive to make sure you are aware of the whole year of those eclipses, because they are going to, no matter what, go through your any house that they travel through. And you know they start 29, 59 degrees,
right,
and then they go down to 0 degree. So therefore, you know, right now in April and May, they're going to down, they zero, down to zero. So that's how they work. And I have studied them quite a bit. And actually, the new book, as I mentioned, that's also, of course, I've just actually had my webpage redesigned. So that book is there. And
To those of you not in the chat room, just so you know, Agneta Borstein, AGNETABORSTEIN.com is where you can find her website. And there is a lot of great stuff there. It is well worth checking out. But continue.
Yeah, right. Those videos that we just put up, they're actually based in astrology. Because I had a TV show,
no,
so that
man.
Would be good if some people don't
take
know.
Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Go ahead.
Know where you
is that your advertising?
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Okay, it's over. Go on about your website again.
No, I just plugged in the book because
yes,
it is
the book, yes.
That I feel where, you know, for those 19 months, it might help somebody that, of course, between Gemini Sagittarius will also be Virgo Pisces in itself, that they can activate their chart in just not just a piece of paper. I always take the paper, it's like it's a round circle, it's not just a piece of paper. And by being aware of those eclipses and, of course, the full moon, I go in my backyard and take a lot of pictures on that full moon. And it teaches us a lot more in the depth if somebody of your audience do not know your moon sign. You've got to get that.
Yeah, it's a good starting point. If you want to go past sun sign, absolutely. You want to go into the moon and your rising sign. Those are the three big ones for any amateurs or beginners out there. Sun, moon, and rising are the really kind of three biggies
absolutely,
to start with.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
then perhaps, too, what I would like to see about the cycles, as you have mentioned. What else do you have? The sun in Capricorn? What else do you have, you said?
Sun, Venus. No, just about sun, Venus, Mercury, North Node, Chiron, and Midheaven are all within 3 degrees on in Capricorn.
Okay. But then the worst is over if it's 3 degrees.
Well,
you
then,
know, like I would,
yeah,
right?
But then my moon is at 29 degrees Taurus.
And you didn't tell. What? Why? That could benefit you. But also, those eclipses still are in that zero Capricorn Cancer axis.
Right, right. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Because, as I mentioned, you know, with how we kind of have our passion, the moon has always been my passion, and the eclipses. So when this thing started to shift into Capricorn, where more and more people were aware of just the Earth shift And as we had mentioned, I am going to just see here. But yeah, so I still read a Swedish paper. And for a whole year, I had observed Greta Thunberg sitting and protesting for the climate.
Right.
A whole year, I had noticed her. You know, the reporter started to check her out. And by being in the shamanic awareness, it's like we might be more aware. Now everybody recycles. My kids have said for years, you recycle everything. Well, now everybody does it, so we have that. But looking at Greta, who was born January 3rd, 2003, and at this point we don't have a time, so I usually take the zero ascendant and just do that. There was one time, I don't trust it, I don't know where I find it, it was one of those quick 8:53 a.m. That's just too perfect with a Capricorn ascendant like you would have. But she does have, you would recognize this, Anthony, she has Chiron and the Sun in conjunction in Capricorn. And the Sun Moon is Capricorn. She's born during a new moon. And she also has Mercury retrograded in Capricorn.
Oh, boy.
As we know, she has the Asperger. And she's proud of it because I can just see on her, and I have read more about her because I have used her in some writing, that I admire her consistency. But her parents, Capricorn parents, had to actually save her life.
Oh, wow.
Because she was so upset in that year where she just sat there, and she went to school during the week, but every Friday, skolstrejk fell in the klimatet. That's why she still has her sign.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents actually had to stop working and just take care of her because that's how upset she got, that the climate has to change. She took it to her whole, you know, if you call it her passion, if you will. She also have a Venus-Mars in Scorpio conjunction. They are 5 degrees apart, which I definitely feel is conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
It does trine her Uranus. But what I feel about what she did, it was not only, of course, she's a metaphor and people, you know, the controversial parts of her whole being and whatnot. But I feel, and I don't know if that's a thought process for the very near future. We had mentioned my other passion, how loud would the gods speak? Could they be like a little more calmer? Could they just take it down a notch? So looking at Greta's movement, if you would call it, I did go to one of the protests because she was right around the corner. I had to, like, she was not there, but the whole protest. Is it so that she woke up something in the subconscious of people? How can a little 16, now she's 17 years old, have millions? It was up to 6 million in all those different towns that just walked. And maybe they were not, with respect to the climate change, we have to work with that. But with that, it's almost like she led the Capricorn into the government's ears, bones, and structure. Do you see why I'm saying that? Because then if we are where we need to be at all times, this virus is awful, and I have a little personal story about that. I have a lot of stories. But anyway, that was it so that, like, you do yours, you discipline and you do what has to be done. And Capricorn with her then, again, Chiron, Sun, Moon, and Mercury in Capricorn, she would then take people's silent protest about that. She just started to walk, started to strike. As in, was it really only a protest about governments? They do their best, even though lately they haven't done too good, or in this country,
no.
Blah, blah, blah. That's the whole political stuff. And so, and also, I want to mention another personal story or part of me is coming to this big, beautiful country, I was very confused about the political arena and the scene, because with Reagan as whatever movie star he was, I said, how could somebody vote on a movie star?
Yeah, you're not the first person.
It was very foreign to me, so I actually didn't become an American citizen. I'm not a political person. Now, of course, I have to educate myself. So I am dual now. I have a dual citizenship, which is, I love them both, you know. That's just part. But I think that being international, if you will, Greta did something about even protesting about the Swedish government, who was supposed to be so great and all that stuff, and any government. But I pay attention to where she will go in this shift about the virus now, because she can't travel. But there is a shift that still woke up in people's subconscious about restrictions, about who is the leader, who what to do. Some countries, we see more and more people women being able to vote, maybe, you know, that we take for granted.
Yeah, that Capricorn energy is definitely affecting world governments all over the place.
Absolutely, yeah. So she was a little girl that had million peoples of walking, protesting. It just kind of swarmed out. Was it really only about the climate? I do agree that the climate has to change and all that, but it's more than that to me.
Oh, yeah.
And, I just really admire her chart. When you then look at the chart, and I looked at, oh, look at that little Scorpio, like how upset she can get, and determined, and her eyes, and then that trines Uranus. I like that, the Venus trines. So she's a likable person, yeah.
Yes, as long as you're not one of those big corporations trying to crush her, she's very admirable.
Right. Well, that's part of it. I think that people protested because of the big control the big corporation has.
Yeah.
This is going to lead us into my other passion that, you know, there's a lot of, never mind 2020, we knew it was going to be a hard year, we knew that. We know the Jupiter conjunction, we know this and that. And in 2013, as we know when we look at the ephemeris,
right.
I wrote an article, and actually that article is on my webpage that I wrote in 2013. But I have also share this information with both astrologers and non-astrologers, because there's good news and there's bad news right now, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have a little conversation. It's going to be good, right? You like it that way?
Yeah.
Right? So when you really look at cycles, you have to respect the beginning and the endings.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
You know, there is a saying there in astrology, okay, it takes a while for the outer planets to really get themselves known. And so the concept, how loud will the gods speak?
Mm-hmm.
In the process of just looking at some approximately dates, it really started 2008 and 12. Remember 2012? That was supposed to be the end of the world, and we knew it wasn't. It was just a big shift of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the outer planets, of course, Uranus moves quickly for the 7 years, but he moves fast, and he's strong, and, you know, that whole thing. I'm going to show you the evolution and the challenges, and people are going to protest and all that that comes with Uranus. But Uranus also comes with liberation and the new invention and the scientific discoveries. For those 7 years, I feel they did do very well when it was in Aries. And now, as we know, March 2019, it went into Taurus.
Yep.
And he's going to stay there until April of 2026. And, of course, that's a desire for freedom. It's the cyberspace. It's all the stuff that works when you want it, that commercial doesn't come on when you don't want them. And what else? We go through with this new, you know, the phones and all this stuff. But I pay attention, of course, as we should, Neptune in Pisces. I love that. I'm the 12th house, you know, the Pisces and the Pisces moon. I don't know if I mentioned that, but
yes.
February 2012, and he will not be done until January 2026.
Yeah.
So you have that. We are caught in the middle by this awful virus that kind of manifested on throughout the world, but it's still like Neptune, I love so much, and I'm sure you have noticed it, or I hope you have noticed it, and as it is, the images of the whole global change, the waters are clearer because we don't drive. It can happen, quote unquote, when we all quarantined for 4 weeks or 5 weeks. What are we going on? Five or 6 weeks? What is it now?
Something like six, I think, yeah.
I'm going on six, yeah, as of this Wednesday. And I'm getting a lot done. I'm getting a lot done in my office. So, but in that process, we go back to say, well, the last time when Neptune was in Pisces, that was
18.
That would be 1846.
Right.
Civil War.
We were certainly heading that direction, yes.
That's every 164 years, and that's why with my integrational wish, and I thanked you for inviting me, thank you, but to say that we still have to be careful, we have to still be very, very patient, whether we have the swaps, the this and the that, we as freedom seekers, we are, because we have the astrology as an alternative tool to make sense out of it all. So in that is also the beneficial part of, I have done hatha yoga, but now you got the girls in every corner doing that, you know. So that's a good thing. Neptune in Pisces, but he's not done yet until he's just like 18 degrees. He still have a lot to go.
We do.
The water. I'm so much into the water that I think that could be cleaned. So if we take this signal here, what do you think about that?
I would love to see, you know, Libra Neptune as it moves deeper into Pisces, it's about two-thirds of the way through. Yeah. I'd love to see us get to that Neptunian Piscean spot where much more of us are spiritually connected and aware of the big picture, not just the... Because Neptune can also be delusion, and we have all this talk about fake news and nobody wants to believe facts, which I can see Neptune and Pisces.
Mm.
And Neptune can be... certainly can be illness that are trouble pinning down. We're having trouble getting our hands on where did this come from? How do we stop it? What is it actually doing? You know, 1 week we're hearing that we need masks, another week maybe we don't. I'm sticking with my mask anyway. So there is confusion right now, and I think a lot of it has to do with us getting kind of aligned, so to speak.
Right, to trust our own message. And therefore, I think this would be the most oddest thing that I like to share, if you don't mind. We still have time, right?
Yeah, we have. You finish this up, and then we're on the show, so you go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Then I'd like to just finish Pluto instead of my odd journey with the bat. But if we get to it, I would like to share it.
Go right ahead.
So when the news came out about the virus and the Wuhan and all the bat and being connected to the shamanism, I actually sat down in January, February, when it started to be rumor. I read a European newspaper, whatever. I'm connected to Spain, too. I was over there in January. So I'm sitting down, and Claire, as we sit here, the bat says like this, I'm not that strong. I can kill, but I can't kill that many people. I'm like, what? So in the altered state of consciousness, you then hear the bat saying, I'm not that strong to kill that many people, because we are blaming the bat. But then he also said it's an experiment. And now, just about every week, I do read, and yesterday again, there was an Nobel Prize scientist that insist that they did wrong at the lab. And so what the bat had told me before this came on the news, it was quite startling. I'm like, what? And then I read one article, a friend of mine sent something afterwards, and he goes, no, it's false, false, it's false. So whether it's false or right, but I would think that if this little out of journey, out of context of your show, and I apologize, but it's pretty interesting because you might find it more, that yeah. in a lab, there was a mistake made. They did experiment on the bat goes to the market, and there we go. It was too powerful even for the bat.
Huh.
He said, I could kill 10 people, I can be 10 bats, and I can kill a lot of people. And I'm not against science to say virus could be this strong. But he insisted that he couldn't kill this much. It came from a lab, he told me. So that's the state of consciousness. You go like, then I start to look into it because of that. But that's my odd. Let's just finish off with Pluto, because Pluto is that... Still, what year is he going to go out of Capricorn? Yeah,
two more years, I think we've got. 2-3 years, right?
2024.
Ah, okay.
So you still have that shift that we have to have the Pluto return, blah, 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 in United States. But it's not just about America.
No.
So 2024, so we're looking at this, the gods. In the olden days, we did the rituals, you know, Thailand still does. I still do my rituals in my right. little circle out here in my backyard. And just to kind of have your audience to be not... Of course, we are scared and fear comes in and the unrealistic part and we don't have equipment to protect ourselves. In Sweden, they don't. But what they don't say on the news, because, of course, I talk to them. Number one, if you're over 70, you're not allowed to go out. They don't say that. And they also are, my favorite niece and nephew, they work at home. So you have different things. And there are schools that are closed, but... They have, with all the respect to them, they just don't want to be home, so they go out everywhere. But they also do have rules and regulation that you don't hear on the news.
Mm.
I have a family member that has their popular, like, old-fashioned foods and bars right in the downtown there. And very, very, they're down. People don't go out. It depends on Stockholm is big and popular or whatever. So what I'm saying, how loud will God speak, is also for us to be allowed to walk on this earth and be connected to something bigger than us, whatever that is, as we mentioned, you know, religion, spirituality, astrology, shamanism, heal and health is crucial right now. Because I feel that I could talk about 2020 for forever because it's this in the fall with Mars retrograded and Mars squaring Uranus. It's a lot still to come.
Yes.
But how I was in awe, I looked at myself like, you're pretty good because of my inner search for whatever reason. But I get very sad that people start to disagree. You started the show like some people want this, some people protest. I get sad. I don't get mad. Don't we have enough to deal with so that we can all work together?
Well,
that's
do.
My sadness, really sad.
I do hold on to the fact that 99% of everybody is or are cooperating.
It's that high? Sorry to interrupt you. Is it that high? I hope you're right.
I think so because I think...
Good.
I think when they recently I read these statistics, the protests in Michigan, it was like less than 0.1% of the people in Michigan protested.
Okay.
You know, we have to remember, you know, newspapers, you make a loud noise and the media puts a microphone in front of you.
That's
you know,
yeah.
It's a lot harder to show an image of people cooperating. It's easy to show like empty shelves or people fighting, but showing people helping each other is not as loud. And it's something we need to remember. I'm not meaning to cut you off, but are you about done? I want to mention to the people in the chat room, the chats aren't coming through. It looks like there's 11 chats, but my computer's, my mouse is all screwed up. But so are you? If you're about finished, we can wrap up, or if you wanted to finish on Pluto, you go right ahead.
No, I was just mentioning that I'm thinking that this is 2020.
Yeah.
We still have a few years to see the result.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to be very patient and comply. What I also feel, you want to protest, go ahead. But I also feel that this has more to do with our not just 2020 or 2021 about the economy. This has to be a sign bigger than that.
Yes.
You don't want to say, oh, it's supposed to be. That's awful. But, you know, I thought about the 1918 flu and then, or the pandemic. And then 1920 is when women were supposed allowed to vote. So we have this shift. And if there is a symbol of that, we have to be patient for quite a few more years. But that's our responsibility to walk this earth and do what we can for all those different, whatever we believe in. We have the freedom, and we are free enough to express that, which I kind of do, but then I don't get protest, and I protest in my own silent way by doing what I love to do.
Yes,
helping people. Yeah, and you do too.
That's the solution. Right? We help people and let those other people yell and scream and go away.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for spending time with me, Agneta, and thank you, my listeners, the patience. My mouse is dead. I hope to get another mouse very soon. So I cannot play the music I normally end the show with. But thank you all for a wonderful night. And Agneta, thank you for coming and staying with us through all the craziness. Good night, Agneta, and good night,
good
everyone.
Good night.
Take care.
Thank you. Be safe. Okay. Stay home. Thank you.
Bye-bye.